with me more and more. Gore brunnen bæren ægge bygge med bæren. Tell me what it's for. Azizi delam nure chashman. Give me more and more. Tia tarki delik bæmi ram bidune. Harder than before.
You're listening to Dorothy Fuzz's Favorite Flings. Before that, it was Artificial by Terranay and Evanora Unlimited. Before that, we heard Autoluminescent by Roland S. Howard. It's been such a pleasure. Thanks so much for tuning in. Oh, and by the way, you're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you. everybody. Is my mic on?
Now it is.
Is it on now?
It is.
Maybe it's the headphones. Oh, now I hear it. We're here. We're live. And when you hear me and you hear that music, you know it's time for another episode of Between the Lines. We are a refuge for the client weary, the type-rattled designers, the designers in all of us. And it is another episode of The Font Show, as people have lovingly called it. My name is Jackie, and I'm so happy to be back here filling in for another week on WFMU. As a reminder, this show, I'm going to be filling in for the rest of the summer schedule, I believe till December. Nope, not December. That's not summer. September 2nd. We're trying to cover it all the aspects of fonts and design. And I'm really excited because this is our sixth show, David. I don't know if you know that. Woohoo! David's back again engineering. I gave him the topic early so he could plan ahead a little bit, he asked. Which I appreciate. I like that you're like, I got to learn up.
I don't want to come in cold.
No, it's good. I like it. So I'm glad. But I just kind of want to go back. I was looking at all the shows we've covered, and we've covered a lot. So, you know, we've done typographic crimes. We did What's Your Favorite Fonts. We talked about hand-drawn fonts. We did a show about AI and design, which was, you know, middling success, I think. And then last week we did a show all about music and band logos and album art. So I'm really excited to kind of continue that conversation, continue discussing fonts. I mean, there's endless possibility. People say there can't be more discussion about font, but there is. There's so many more topics.
They're everywhere.
And so tonight's show, I want to talk a lot. I'll give the topic in a second. You'll hear it. But we're going to talk about moving fonts, animation and fonts. And what could that mean specifically? But it means movie titles. So if you've ever watched a movie, seen a movie, or even a TV show, you know that the opening credits, the opening sequence, that thing you sometimes skip, that is the thing that I want to talk about. It's the thing you see before, you know, the thing you're going to see. I really like that it's something that people, again, with design, when I went to design school, they said good design is silent, which I never really enjoyed that saying, but you don't think about things being designed, but something like a movie title sequence, it really sets you up for what you're going to see in the movie. It really brings you to your seat, at least the good ones. It's almost like a movie itself, which is really cool and exciting. And, you know, I kind of jokingly mentioned it, but like these days with streaming and Netflix, we've kind of short shrifted the opening sequence. We skip it. It's short. It's like 2 seconds long. You know, you're nodding.
I am nodding because even in that website that you directed me to.
The Art of the Title. Big plug for The Art of the Title. Very great website.
Very informative.
Yes. Highly recommend.
But the video that I sent you, you know, there was like, a lot of times they've been shortened down to 7 seconds.
2 seconds. Yeah, 2 seconds is just like the title and it pops up. And like, we've kind of lost. I mean, I think it's coming back. I always think everything's coming back. But I really believe that with the prevalence of computers and everything becoming easier, we are trying to get back to things that were designed, things that were made by hand, things that show that someone chose to make something longer or make something with intention. So that's why I hope that movie title sequences are coming back, because I really like them. And I'm not a big fan of movies, but I like the title sequences. I don't watch a lot of movies, but I do watch a lot of title sequences. And it, to me, it's a movie in itself, so that's fine.
Well, it can set the tone of the film.
It really, yeah. The good ones, that's the whole point. So before I give the number, and some of you probably already know the number, I like to do, or I've been liking doing, a little bit of like a walkthrough of the history of whatever the topic is. So I'm going to do a quick history of movie credits, movie credit designers, kind of give them their due and set the stage for how this came to be, you know. So let's talk first about silent films. So have you seen any silent films?
Not in a long time.
Not in a long time.
And I'm not that old, so.
I've seen a lot of silent films. The Buster Keaton, the Charlie Chaplins, all of that. But the silent film, you know, they needed to have those title cards because there was no sound. So
there was no graphics.
There were no graphics. Like, there was nothing. So they literally had to hand draw or typeset these interstitial title cards that kind of interrupted the movie throughout, but also at the beginning and the end to show, you know, what was going on in the movie. So if you look back at those, they all have a very similar look and feel. It's got that kind of smoky black chalkboard looking graphic. And then it's got the white lettering. It usually has the Art Deco motif frame all around it, which honestly look really beautiful, really lovely. It's got this very specific time frame and timestamp on it. These movies from the 1890s and 1900s.
Did Coen Brothers do that with Where
They Did
Where Oh Brother Where
Oh Brother Without There? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think anytime. I see it a lot because it's such a trope. It's such like a timestamp that anyone making a movie today, you get that old timey feel, you know, with that smoky black and white look. And actually, I did have to look it up because I was trying to figure out how they made those back in the day. And they actually would create it by typesetting the text on cards. So it would be black text on white background, but then they would film it. So it would invert the image, and that's why it's all black on the white. They made like a negative of it, and that's like how you got the film. And that's why it's, you know, it's kind of scratchy. It's got that great texture. So that's kind of where typography and film really started. And then, you know, after even in like the 1920s, they started spicing it up. So if you look at the cabinet of Dr. Caligari, am I saying that right? Dr. Yep. Caligari. That's where, and they were starting to before that, but I think that's a really pivotal film credit design because the type and the font starts getting real sharp. You've got that kind of vampire monster look. It's not this like beautiful Art Deco. It's more horror film. And it's, I believe when I looked at it, it was green. So please, let me know. I haven't seen it either because I'm not. Like I said, hopefully some movie snobs call in, but I am a title snob, so I only know the titles. But I thought that was really cool that you're getting this more illustrative, you know, tone to the movie. And it's, you know, it's a scary movie. It's a horror movie. So you don't need this like cute little fleur-de-lis and Art Deco framing. You want it to, it's starting to be evocative of what the movie's about in the 1920s. And then I'm going to kind of pop all the way to the 50s. Where really, that's when TV kind of started to be a threat to movies. So these movie theater guys are all getting together. TV is a threat. How do we get people to come back to the movies? I know. Let's have these amazing title opening sequences, which worked, apparently. And that's where you get, you know, I would believe the father of type in movies, which is Saul Bass. And he really innovated the approach. He was the first big one to do The Man with the Golden Arm in 1955, which inspired a ton, you know, ton of type in the trend. Like that just really became a trend because it, have you seen that one, David?
I have not.
See, I should have given you the full list. You could watch all of them. That's okay. But in this one, it's basically, I think it's about a jazz singer and he has like heroin problems. But in the title sequence, this arm is like appearing and it's like animating onto the screen. And it's really cool. I mean, it was really different for the time because this line work comes in and, you know, becomes the typography. And it just was really an innovative approach. And if you're not familiar with that, I'm sure you're definitely familiar with all of Saul Bass's work on the Hitchcock movies.
Of course.
So Psycho, North by Northwest. North by Northwest is my favorite. I love the type design in that. It's just all these blocks and they're moving around. It's so perfect.
Yeah, Rear Window was always one of mine.
Rear Window, that's a great one. Vertigo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The opening graphics on Vertigo are like classic. You know?
Yeah, it's classic.
That kind of spiral. And
exactly. It's like, and he really cemented making a movie about the movie, almost like right before you walk in, you are immediately immersed in this second pre-movie that is beautiful. It's all about typography, and that's the part that I really like about it. Like, he created this new art form for graphic designers.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
In your opinion, in your expert opinion.
Oh, God.
Well, because, you know, in the 30s and 40s and 50s, you used to see a cartoon before a movie.
Yes.
So do you think that that was...
inspired.
Inspiring to the
I think you're probably right. Yeah, because if you think about it, you know, that cartoon, if you think about, like, the Pink Panther graphics, you know, it was started from cartoons. You know, it's very fun, very poppy. I think you're totally right. I mean, I don't know if that's accurate, but
well,
it sounds accurate.
I was just asking the question. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe someone can call in and
tell us. Yeah. But I haven't given the number yet, so don't call yet.
No. No calls.
We're not good. We don't have any calls anyway, because they know I'm going to keep going, because I'm only at the 50s. So, yeah. But yeah, so then another thing I want to mention about Saul Bass, which I kind of knew this, but until I was going into my just research for the show, I... you know, a lot of people talk about graphic designers and they kind of become this like rock star graphic designer. But Saul Bass didn't work alone. He actually worked a lot with his wife, Elaine Bass, and she doesn't really get as much credit. So I want to kind of bring that up on the show. She really was his creative partner and worked on all of those. Like most, I would say the majority of them, and all of his interviews from back in the day, he is saying, like, we did this, we did that. But the way that it was interpreted was he's this monolith. He's this, you know, genius creating all these things. But there's always a secret woman, David. That's what we really know.
Well, hopefully not. But I mean, you know.
Not secret anymore.
I had no idea. I never knew that.
I never knew that either. Yeah, I learned that. So learned that. Officially learned that today. But yeah, I wanted to bring that up because I just think that's... very interesting. Like, a lot of times we think of these title designers or just graphic designers in general as people who work alone, but anyone who's ever had a job in graphic design knows that there's a million people and a million opinions involved.
It's
a team. It's always a team. So I think that's really cool to hear and know. So I'm going to run through a couple more names as we go into the 60s and 70s. Then you start getting even more creative with the title design. You'll see, you know, names like Maurice Binder, Binder or Binder? I'm pretty sure it's Binder. But he created all of the 007 James Bond title opening sequences, which are great. I mean, they still use that circle with him and the gun.
Every one.
Every single one. It has become an iconic graphic. And I will say what I like about Saul Bass over the James Bond one is just I love playful typography with illustration, whereas the 007 ones are a little bit more about the illustration, but the typography flies in and is still, it's still part of it.
The thing that interests me, and I don't know, you would know, like, because so obviously animation, let's just take the 007 one. Mm-hmm. Was that done cell by cell by cell? Was that like standard animation?
I think it was done in the same way that, yeah, like standard animation. It was done like illustrated. So illustrated drawn and then cell by, yeah.
24 frames per second.
I want to say yes, because it's 1960, I think. That's the only way that they had to do it. Yeah. So a lot of that stuff, they were using like trace paper, you know, think about like how comic books are designed. And so they're copying something over it and then recopying it and layering that trace paper and then like filming all of it. And that's why, I mean, it looks really beautiful. I just think as a human, you can tell when something has a human touch, even though it's meant to look computerized. You can tell when it's made with love, I guess. So yeah, still kind of moving through the 60s and 70s, you start getting like wilder, just like we were talking about music last week, you start getting that like wilder, more experimental
pop
typography,
art
pop art,
psychedelia.
Dr. Strangelove, like, is really amazing opening graphics. You also start getting more like comic book style opening, you know, graphics with like Stan Lee and Marvel Comics, and then kind of making those into TVs and movie shows later on. And then what's his name? Pablo Ferrell? Did I say his name right? He really was a pioneer of a lot of that like Marvel comic look and feel with the floating square boxes that float around, and they've got different scenes from the movie in them, and they kind of move around the space. And I think that's very inspired by comic books. You know, you've got squares moving around with different scenes, and then you zoom into one of them. I think that was really cool. And then you start getting into 80s and 90s, where you do start having the computer graphics, and you are able to experiment more easily, and more people can animate more easily. Mm-hmm. So I think you're getting a lot more animated type. And with that, with the computerized type, you're also getting that kind of 90s grunge kind of pushback to the computerized type, which feels like really handmade, really crazy.
Scribbled,
very inspired by what's going on in zine culture and magazine culture. And that's where you get the kind of grunge aesthetic of Seven, which was a very pivotal movie. And David told me he knows the type designer of Seven.
Kyle Cooper. But he's a friend of my sister's.
That's pretty cool.
And also one of his partners, Garson Yu.
That's very cool. Well, we hope one of them calls in. We don't know. We put the word out there, but we'll see. But I mean, the really cool thing about, if you've ever seen the movie Seven or the title sequence for movie Seven, is it is this, it's kind of anti that like clean and slick feel of movies. And it gets at the gritty, you know, crusty part of the film and brings it into the title sequence in this really, you know, beautiful way. So I think that became really, really, really important and really pivotal, and I think inspired a lot of title sequences in TV, like True Detective and some of these kind of more grittier cop shows and, mm-hmm. and dramas and things like that. That's definitely where I feel like Seven was very pivotal.
Seven, as I recall, was very, had like a lot of sepia and blacks and
it
browns
did. And that like scratched out, yeah. You know, and then you're thinking of like Memento and some of those other movies that were really big at the time, and they yeah. all kind of they took that like look and they all kind of start looking the same, and then people kind of switch to something a little bit cleaner. But yeah, I feel like a lot of the movies in the 90s are like rough around Requiem for a Dream, you know, we're gritty drugs and the type reflects that, you know? And then I also, you know, now up until today, like in the 2000s, that 3D animation is becoming more and more just easy to use. You know, people are using, a lot more 3D programmings to build the types. You're building the type right into whatever software you're editing in or you know, separately. And so that's where you're getting, again, like these kind of superhero movies where the guy's coming in and he's crushing the fonts, you know, in the first pow, which are kind of fun. And I think that also today you're seeing a lot of that movie title work, you know, it's kind of moving away from movie. I mean, I think there's still films that are absolutely doing it. And even I kind of went through a list of ones that I personally like that I'll probably mention later. Mm-hmm. But I see a lot more of it in TV, but I'm wondering now with the prevalence of streaming, if that's going to just like in the 1950s when they were trying to lure people away from the TV and back to movies, I'm hoping to see a resurgence in title design where you go into a movie as a special experience. And part of that is watching all of the titles and watching all of the credits go by.
You're thinking that the streaming is going to help bring that back?
I'm wondering if the actual creators of movies bring that back into the theaters, and it's not this like skippable experience like it has been. Because in a TV setting, you can skip it easily. You can fast forward, or now they just have the little skip button. But I wonder if they'll bring it back. I think what I like about it is that I like that it makes you pause. I like that, I mean, I read everything. I read all of the people who worked on the film. And I think that, to me, that highlights the amount of effort it takes to make a movie.
Can you recall any program or movie, it would have to be really a program, mm-hmm. Where the opening titles held elements of the plot in that particular episode? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
a TV show or in a movie?
In a TV show.
Well, I think one of the big ones, and I think one of the big ones is like Mad Men. You know, I think Mad Men has brought back the kind of art of the title sequence in TV. I mean, so did, yeah, there's a lot of TV shows that I think that did it, because now it's, we call it the golden age of television, which I think that's fading. But there was this kind of golden age of television with Mad Men, with Breaking Bad, with The Sopranos. That one's more of like an opening sequence than mm-hmm. it is the title design being interesting. But what I liked about Mad Men was it was really beautiful. It was typographically and visually illustrated and driven. The one criticism I have of that title sequence is it was the same for all, I think, five or six seasons. And I wish they had updated the ads every season to be reflective of what decade and what year they were in. That would have been way better.
That would have been better. That's why you're a creative designer.
That's my one flaw with Mad Men. Is there anything that you really like? It could be a movie or a TV show.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff I like, but you know, I look back to like Game of Thrones.
Yes. Okay.
So I think that was also kind of a pivotal show.
It was
with the opening graphics,
for
particularly
sure.
Because now I see the same kind of like sand,
yeah,
you know, particle.
People,
you know,
copy
movement.
Each other. Yeah. Yeah. Like if I have to see another show that looks exactly like True Detective, it's like, okay, that's been done for years now. Like, let's move on, guys.
I let that go after second season.
But. Yeah, same. I can't watch this anymore. But I think then you get something really innovative like Severance. You know, if you've seen the opening title for that, it's really well done. It's really surreal.
It's on my list.
It's just watch the opening title. See, like I watch it every time. And people want to skip it. No, I can't skip it. It's so good. Or The White Lotus is another really great one where it's the type is really animated beautifully with the illustration and the frames around it. Mm-hmm. I think that these are shows, and I know we're supposed to be talking about movies, but these are shows that are really pushing title design. And I hope that movies, I think there are movies today that are like adopting that, but I hope that there's more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, I just, as you were talking, I just had this thought, you know, I've seen animation festivals and mm-hmm. horror B-movie festivals.
Oh, yeah.
This and that. I was wondering if someone should do an opening sequence festival.
They should. I would totally go to
an
opening sequence festival. Would be so good because then you don't have to watch the whole movie. That's my favorite part. See, this is why I actually do like commercials, because it's like little movies. But that's why I work in advertising. I'd be like, don't skip it. All right, I'm going to give out the number now. It is 201-209-9368. Tell me your favorite title sequence. It could be a movie. It could be a TV show. Describe it to me vividly. I will YouTube it or Google it. If I don't know it. But I also, you know, if you don't have a favorite title sequence, then what's a movie that you like and, you know, we can judge the title sequence? Or it's a movie that you like but you hate the title sequence? Let's just talk about movies and animated typography. So the number is 201-209-9368.
One opening a few years ago, but I mm-hmm. that kind of sticks out in my mind. Did you happen to see, I took my kids to this, it was Spider-Man Into the Multiverse.
I have seen the opening credits for that, but I have not seen them. I know.
The movie is good.
Yeah.
But
like, I heard very
the
good
opening,
things.
The opening credits
are fantastic.
They're fantastic.
Really cool. Yeah. I think that's definitely on the list of like opening credits that are really great. You know what I was also on my list, and I love this movie. Oh,
go ahead. Finish your thought.
Okay, I'm going to finish my thought. They can wait. Poor Things was really, really beautifully done. Have you seen it?
I have not.
It's very good. It won an Oscar.
Oh.
An Oscar. Not for title design, though. You can...
Oh, we got a Christmas tree here.
Oh, wow. Lots of calls. Let's take one. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. My favorite title sequence is Vertigo, by far.
Vertigo is so good.
The animated sequence is the first computer-generated use of computers to generate animation like that. The kind of swirling spiral, and that was designed by John Farron, who was an abstract painter, kind of associated with the abstract expressionist painters.
You mean the poster?
No, the animated computer graphics and the title sequence.
I thought it was Saul Bass.
No, well, he, Sal Bass kind of oversaw the whole thing, but he didn't design that specific thing.
Okay. I didn't know that.
It was John Farron.
Oh, interesting. Are you, yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. I that's, again, another testament to designers don't work alone. You know, someone is designing the poster or designing, like, the main graphic, but then someone else is animating it and someone else is overseeing the whole thing. So
yeah.
I think that's definitely great. And it's such a great, great opening sequence. I mean, it's a great film and it's
yeah.
a great, yeah, it's a wonderful drop into that world. Which I think
I just
really
had
cool.
an observation. I'm sort of a, an amateur title sequencer.
Oh, cool.
Cause I write poetry and I've tried to animate some of it.
Ooh, like concrete
and,
poetry.
Well, it's kind of, it's like cut up poetry.
Okay.
And I've, I used, a dissolve, and had all the poetry lines kind of follow each other in the center of the screen. And I didn't quite like it. To me, it looked too much like advertising.
Mm. Yeah. You kind of want it to look something different.
What I decided to do is kind of, use the edges of the frame and have the text bounce from side to side and corner to corner and things like that.
Oh, cool.
That's just an amateur observation.
No, that sounds really interesting. Definitely send it to me. I love when people send me stuff. But thank you so much for your call.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Next call. You're on the air.
Jackie, sorry.
Hello. Hey. Who is this?
This is Zachary.
Oh, you sound like you were running, Zachary. You're
running out of breath. I got up. I just ate.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
You got something for the topic?
Hey, poetry guy, he should post on the comments board.
He should. He should. At WFMU.org, we have a comments board.
Yeah.
Anyway, Zachary, do you have something for the topic?
Oh, definitely. I'm always on topic.
Okay, let's go.
So, two. One for all around. Monty Python and the Holy
Grail. Oh, Monty Python's great. And talk about illustration and animation all coming together with the typography. It's everything is brilliant in Monty Python. Absolutely.
Yeah, Terry.
And I love collage art all the time. And it's just, it's so joyful and fun. It's just really, it's perfect. There's no notes. No notes.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Thank you. That's a good one. Thanks, Zachary.
And for the other more like whimsy, different ones, the Stooges.
The Stooges.
The Three Stooges. They did a lot of drawings. And, you know, otherwise they're pretty simple, but they put, you know, some effort. It wasn't just, you know, slapped together or something.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, that kind of, it's that more, that black and white look with like the, I don't even know how to describe this kind of like blocky hand-drawn font. Is very interesting to me. I'm not as familiar with the Stooges.
Different ones kind
they
of
change
fit
it every
the mood
time.
Of it.
Oh, cool. I like that. That's really fun and playful. Cool. Well, thank you very much for those contributions, Zachary.
Yeah, thanks for the show. Cheers.
Cheers. Hello, you're on the air.
About the Jurassic Park. Whatever.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Welcome to Between the Lines. Do you have a favorite movie title sequence?
You know, I do.
Great. What is it?
It's Jurassic Park.
Ooh, I just watched Jurassic Park on a plane, actually.
It slaps.
It does. It holds up. And I believe, I looked up who designed it. Ah, do you remember off the top of your head? Oh, it's Chip Kidd. It's Chip Kidd.
It's who?
Chip Kidd. He is a really great book cover designer, and so he designed the T-Rex skeleton and the logo and all of it. I'm not sure who, like, animated it on the actual film, but he's a really famous book cover designer.
That makes sense, because it's very graphic.
It is. It is. It's great, and the colors are great. It's really fun. I love the line work inside of, you know, the Jurassic. I think it feels very Jurassic.
It kind of feels like you're entering the park itself.
It is. What I like about that movie is that they created this logo for the movie, but then it's within the entire park because it was this branded system that is for a park, which is what the movie's about. It's about these people opening up this amusement park.
They created an identity.
They really did. They created a system. I love it. That's a great one. Thank you.
A brand identity. I love it.
A brand identity. Yes, Jurassic Park. That's a really good one. Thanks for the call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, you guys have a great show.
Thank you.
Foremost, and I hope they find a place for you after September 2nd.
I might be tired. We'll see. maybe we do run out of topics. We don't know. tell me about your favorite title sequence.
So I don't know if it's been mentioned yet, but a few years ago when I saw this opening sequence, it's for a production house. Everybody knows what it is. When I saw it, it has the 70s vibe to it, like mid-70s, early 70s. It's for A24.
Oh, always and A24. They're so hip.
They were, yeah. When I first saw that, the sequence drew me in.
Wait, the sequence for A24 or a specific movie under A24? Or you just mean like the neon when it glows, A24?
Yeah, the neon A24.
Oh.
I know that I'm in for something, you know, really irreverent and controversial and right off the top of everybody's head, blowing it up. It's probably Hereditary that was the first one, more maybe Midsommar, I forget. But that graphic, you know, hooks me every time. You know, there's no sound. It's just this very static graphic.
Yeah.
I just love it.
And I think simplicity is, if you're a film designer, if you're an independent filmmaker, spend the money on hiring a graphic designer for your title sequences or for your production company logo, because it's the first thing people see. They immediately are going to think about the quality of your film right off the bat. They're going to say, this is done by an amateur or not. Spend the money, because it really, like you said, you see A24, you know what it looks like, and you know you're in for a good ride.
An excellent run.
An excellent ride.
And absolutely. You're absolutely right. So, hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, so I have a title sequence. Irreconcilable Differences, which is everyone's second least favorite Coen Brothers movie.
Okay.
George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones keep marrying and divorcing each other. But the opening has Elvis's Suspicious Minds. And they take these like 1930s like Valentine card illustrations and animate them. So the Cupids are like shooting arrows and the hearts are breaking, and it's like just a delightful sequence.
Oh, were you talking about Intolerable Cruelty?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I was like, what is this movie? I recognize the cover from like walking around like Blockbuster stores and looking at that cover.
It's
from 2003, I believe.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not up to their standards, but George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones being charming, you know, it's not bad.
So you like the movie or you like the title? Now I've never seen the title sequence. Can you describe it to me? I'm going to watch it on silent.
Yeah, it's these sort of vintage, like 1920s or 30s illustrations from Valentine. So like Cupid, you know, cherubic like Cupids with bows and arrows and hearts and flowers and cherubic children and whatever.
Oh, cute.
But they animate it all, so it's all sort of these like sliding like cards.
I like that.
And,
it kind of looks like it's inspired by that kind of Monty Python clip, like, you know, clip art aesthetic, but it's all with these Valentine's Day cards with these little Baroque cherubs running around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a really charming sequence.
I like that. You know what I also really like is on all of the lettering, they've kind of added a little extra glam on the first and like the first letter of people's name and the first letter of their last name, which always looks really beautiful. It's got that kind of medieval aesthetic where in medieval books they would illustrate
like the
first letter. Yeah, it looks really beautiful. This is a really good one. I haven't seen this movie, but I really really enjoy this title sequence. I'm liking it a lot.
The Coens didn't write it, so it's not really in keeping with some of their stuff, but the title sequence, you know, they put thought into everything and they put detail into everything, and that's what they did with the titles.
Yeah, that's so great. I love this. Yeah, even in the comments on this YouTube, it says, reminds me of Monty Python. So yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, this is a great one. Thank you.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All right, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Jackie, it's Franco.
Hi, Franco. Do you have something for the topic?
Sure. It's a movie that I only saw once when I was a kid at the movie theater.
But it left an impression.
It's a description. It's How to Stuff a Wild Bikini. And the title sequence was, imagine a bikini without a person in it doing a sort of a seductive dance across the screen.
Okay.
And it was in full color. And, of course, we only had a black and white TV. And
is it claymation?
Time, so
was it claymation?
It was great. Hmm?
Was it claymation?
No, it was cell animation, as I figured out later.
Oh.
I mean, at the time, I had no idea how they did this. I know now, but back
yeah,
you then,
work
I didn't
in
know.
You work in movies, Franco, as I know. So have you worked with title designers
I
at
did.
All?
I don't work anymore. But see, a lot of that stuff is. Yeah, but the funny thing about that movie is, as I found out later, that the cinematographer on the movie was Floyd Crosby, who was David Crosby's father. And I met him because he was my girlfriend's parents' next-door neighbor. And he was already pretty old, and so we went over and had lemonade with him and his wife, Betty, who used to be the script supervisor on the Twilight Zone. And at the time, it was before I started working in film, probably about 5 years, I didn't know what to ask him. Of course, afterwards, I had just tons of questions to ask
him. Yeah, I have a question for you, though, Franco, just to get back on topic. I'm looking at this opening and closing to How to Stuff a Wild Bikini. It's from 1983,
yeah.
Correct?
It's from 1965.
Oh, then there's another one from 1983.
With Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello.
Okay, you should look up the How to Stuff a Wild Bikini 1983 because, and everyone should, this title sequence is so cool. It's all claymation.
Really?
Yeah, you should definitely look it up.
Oh, yeah.
It's
all right.
All the titles are clay, and I love clay. It's clay animated claymation. And there's like waves, there's hairs being grown, there's the letters are kind of popping out of other pieces of clay. This looks like very cool.
Great.
I think everyone should check this one out. So
yeah.
I'll try to find the one you are mentioning, but I'm not seeing that on the internet.
One other thing that from the same period, 1965, in Los Angeles on a local station, there was a show called Schiller. And what they did in between the commercial breaks, they had the Wiggly Monster letters that were wiggling back and forth. And of course, at the time I had no idea how they did it, but of course what they did, they painted the letters on acetate
and then they wiggled them and with
the
like a fan
in front of the camera.
I really like that. I love learning the ways that type was animated, that's not just drawing or cell animation or like literally filming typography moving is really fun. I think that we should do more of it. Takes more time, it's more time consuming, but the results are so much.
We don't care about that.
I care about that.
Who cares if they go over?
Hey,
budget?
The people of the Between the Lines, we care. Well, thank you for your call, Franco.
Bye now.
That was a good one. Those were interesting. I know Franco would always give me some interesting topics.
So we do have another call. I just want to ask you: was that Art Clokey who did the open for that?
I don't know, but that name sounds
a Wild Bikini, which I can't believe they remade.
I mean, clearly they did. I have to look into this more, definitely.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It looks great.
They couldn't spend the money a better way. Now, I haven't seen the movie, so it's not
I
fair.
Haven't seen. We'll have to see and find out.
Yeah. All right.
Next call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah. Are you talking about title sequences?
We are. Yes. Do you have one for the topic?
Oh, I absolutely do. I grew up in, my name is Luis, I'm calling from Kearney, and I wanted to share about getting cable for the first time in the 80s and finally getting a premium channel.
Ooh.
And one that had an amazing sequence was HBO.
Always.
And they would play it right before a feature presentation, a movie. And it was like the letters would come out. It was like you pull out of someone's living room from their TV set, and then it goes out on the street, and then it flies up in the sky, and the HBO comes out.
Oh, this was, again, I love that people are bringing up the animation for the production company's logo and not, you know what I mean? There was the other caller who talked about just the A24, and now you're bringing up HBO. I think that's even more interesting. Like, we have this anticipation for the movie, and you right. have the credits, but you're talking about the anticipation for the anticipation of the movie, which is even more interesting, and it's shorter. But it's still warrants discussion, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. And I just, as a kid watching that, it's like, oh yeah, it's about to begin.
I remember when you heard that first crackle of the HBO, you know, and it pops up, home box office. You're like, oh, this is going to be good.
See, like, that one's, like, shorter now. Like, now with the TV, fuzzy TV, that one's nice.
I remember that one. I need to look up this older one. Do you remember that, David?
I do.
Okay.
I do remember it. Funny, when I was learning also, like, the Adobe Suite,
mm-hmm.
the person who was teaching me, I think it was After Effects.
Yeah, that's the one with animating
and the
type and
first
design.
Thing that he showed us was how to make the HBO with
really?
The, with the static inside.
Really?
The
yeah, yeah, that's fun. I like that. Well, thanks for your call.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the HBO, it's so funny when, you know, people listing even shorter things. So I'm curious if people, am I alone? Am I the only one not skipping through credits? Are people like, I'm done. I can't watch this.
You know,
Saul Bass garbage one more time with Vertigo.
No,
I got to get right to the stuff.
I think the opening credits attract the view. I mean, listen, that last caller, you know, was he was up on the graphic just to get into the movie.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people are like that.
Yeah. And especially like I was saying before, it not only highlights the designer's design and the animator, you know, the animation and the illustration, it also highlights all the people who worked on the film. They get their gravitas in the film sequence because you're looking and you're like, oh, George Clooney's in this one. Oh, okay. And then you see all of the other people who worked on it, the costume designer, the, you know, casting agent, all of the people that come together. And I just really like, and maybe that's being utopian, I just like this world that everyone's coming together to make this one thing, this one piece of art.
Yeah, that's a nice thing about production.
It is you know? Nice. It is nice.
Because I've always liked the people I worked with.
Yes, very team oriented. Do we have another call?
Yes, we do.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. So to kind of continue the trend of production companies.
Another, you have like, another one. Okay.
Like typeface and like graphic design, the old Orion movie.
Just the lion, intro. Like the roaring.
No,
which
yeah,
one?
No, the Orion, like the constellation.
Oh, the Orion.
Like,
oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It,
yeah.
Like it would like spin and then it would
yes.
form out the word.
That's a really good one.
I always
yeah.
liked that. And then Gracie Pictures from the end of the Simpsons episodes, where it's in like the movie theater and the princess goes. Shh. And then it plays the picture.
I'm not okay
on the screen.
I'm going to admit something. I have seen like one episode of The Simpsons.
It's fine. My dad would like sneak me into the living room and watch The Simpsons with him.
I know. Now I'm looking at
that is ingrained in my head.
Okay, I have seen this though. Gracie Films logo because it's very like Mystery Science Theater 3000 with people looking at a film and it's, you see the projection image and then you've got this
yeah.
kind of lovely, lovely G and this like kinky little R. So yeah, that's yeah. really nice. I like that.
I mean, Mystery Science Theater is another like intro. To,
it is.
You know, like the model effects.
It is
like,
really
even
fun.
Though like it's like cheap as dirt, you know, but like that's the charm of it.
Yes. There's definitely a certain charm. Like if you have a vision, I don't think money is the obstacle. I think a lot of times you see a lot of design and type design and they have so much money, but there's no vision and it's boring. Whereas if you have great vision, you will figure it out and make something really beautiful and really cool. and really interesting. Even just hand-drawn is still better. Yeah,
makes it more creative.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Those, setbacks.
Well, these are very good ones. Thank you for calling in.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Hi. I don't know if you know of John Waters' collages with title sequences.
Yes, I do. Which one are you for? What? Which movie?
I can't remember. I can't remember anyone specifically, but I remember like he used to kind of string together a bunch of titles in a line of maybe, you know, four or five photographs.
I'm trying to think of a specific John Waters movie that does this, and maybe I'm like.
No, you know, he makes artwork too. These are actually just like framed collages.
Oh, like you're talking about his artwork, not his movie?
With photographs, kind of going left to right with title sequences, kind of.
Oh, I'm not that familiar with that. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
I was looking for the opening sequence of like Cry Baby or like Pecker, but I don't think that's not popping out in my brain with him. Like, there's so many images in my mind, and weirdly, I don't have a title sequence in my mind with John Waters. I can't imagine him considering the title sequence.
It's strange if he just kind of left the title sequences alone, but I don't.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything.
Interesting,
recent.
Interesting. I'll have to look into that. I will do a rewatch of some John Waters and get back to you.
I posted a poetry animation on the chat board.
Oh, cool. I will check that out.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Cool. Thank you for your call.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, that also reminded me of like David Lynch opening sequence too, like Twin Peaks, like talking about A24 with the neon. When you see that neon green, it's like got this putrid glow to it, and you know that it's beautifully typeset, but it's kind of gross. You know you're in for a little bit of a wild ride.
Well, David Lynch.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any other thoughts for the topic, David?
I'm trying to think about. You know, I watched Stranger Things when it came out.
And that actually is very directly influenced by the cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Like the way that it's influenced by 80s and, you know, that's kind of Steven Spielberg type. But mm-hmm. that green and the red glow is like very, you know, first time horror movie type sequence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's so funny because I think with TV shows, because we watch the title sequence over and over and over again, they're a little bit more ingrained in our head than movies. But I did list a couple of other movies that I really like. I also just rewatched Scott Pilgrim. Have you ever seen that?
I love that movie.
It's so good. And the great part about that movie is it's fun, it's silly, it's campy, it's big, but it's got type through the whole thing. The whole thing. When he's shouting, there's
it's like a comic book come
to life. Yeah, it's a comic book come to life. They did such a good job with the typography in that. It's really fun. I want to see more of that. Like, I think it's just a great way to show loudness and colorfulness through typography and animation. I mentioned Poor Things. I don't know if you've never seen the movie, but the way that the title sequences are, they're kind of these thin black like pencil lines or pen lines. They're really sketchy, and the movie's very surreal and a little bit gross, but it's also got this kind of surreal Victorian backdrop. So all of the title sequences are on this beautiful, almost like a satin pillow. But if you look closely, the satin pillow, it looks like there's stitching on the pillow that is beautiful illustrations of scenes, you know, from the movie. Stitched in a pillow. It's really, really beautiful.
Is it, does, now going back to my earlier question, yeah. It doesn't give anything away to
it. Doesn't. No. And I think it's, what I like about title sequences is it gives enough of the hint of the story, but it's only when you go back and watch it a second time. It's almost like an Easter egg. You go back and watch it a second time, you're like, oh,
that's
in reference
from.
To that horse or that whatever, you know, and I just think that is a fun little play in title sequences. And then I also, we've talked about, you know, Wes Anderson before. All of his title sequences are in Futura with the yellow. But they're still really good. They're still really fun. And, you know, his graphic designer, Annie Atkins, does all of his work. I'm not sure. I'm assuming that there's other people who animate it. But I think that is also very, very influential type of sequences.
I'll have to watch it again.
Oh, all of them. They're all the same, so you can watch any of them. Yeah. Oh, we have another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. I love the opening sequence for Flight Attendant.
Flight Attendant? Who made that?
Yeah. I can't remember. It was Netflix or one of those.
I think it was HBO.
It's Christina HBO? Applegate.
Excuse me?
It's HBO or The Flight Attendant?
The Flight Attendant.
I'm looking at it right now. Oh, I see it. Oh, cool. Yeah, it's got a very graphic novel design.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's retro, but it's got such bright colors that it kind of
it modernizes it a little bit.
Yeah.
I like that. It kind of reminds me of what they did with Catch Me If You Can, the movie,
yeah,
which was really poppy. It was more like 50s, and this feels like the next iteration of that.
Yeah. And if you get a chance, play with the sound on. It's just so disturbing.
I know. Great. I'm playing it on silent, which is really just half of it. So I'll have to play it with the sound on later. I have so many tabs open with all these great.
One more along those lines. My absolute favorite opening titles is Casino Royale.
Oh, Casino Royale. Oh, that's a really good one. Yeah,
that's along the same lines. It's just a different style. It's just so elaborate and awesome.
It's the same. I mean, because it's Binder. What's his name? Maurice Binder did all of the 007 and James Bond. I'm not sure. I'm assuming. I'm really not sure if he did the Casino Royale ones. I'll have to look
I certainly
that
don't know.
He
I
lived
no
very long. Like, I think he was 106 years old.
I'm a graphic
died.
Designer, but I've never kept tabs on who did titles.
It's so hard to keep tabs on these people. They're just little ghosts. but the Casino Royale one was really great, especially because I felt like it was kind of James Bond entering the next era. It was a new Bond. He was a little more serious than who was that guy right before him?
I don't remember the guy right before Daniel Craig.
Yeah, he was kind of like the pretty boy of James Bond.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, so I still like the Pierce Brosnan movies. They're fun, but this kind of it entered an era of a more serious take on James Bond, and I think that the title sequence for all of those with Daniel Craig are stunning, and the music is stunning. Every single part of that was so well curated. Definitely beautiful to check out and beautiful to come back to multiple times every time you
except
watch
for Quantum of Solace.
You're right. Quantum of Solace was terrible.
Redheaded stepchild.
Now that I'm thinking about that, that was the one where it's like underwater with like, didn't have like tentacles and stuff. It was
no.
Was that one?
That was a good one. That was Spectre. That was the octopus thing. Oh man, that was awesome.
Then wait, what was Quantum of Solace?
I don't remember, and I don't want to.
It was so bad, I blocked it out from your memory.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to look all of those up again. Well, they're making a new James Bond,
Spectre,
so we'll see.
Spectre again. Watch
Spectre,
that one.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for your call.
Okay, bye.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi there. Title sequences?
Yes.
Yes. Wasn't it called on public television Masterpiece Theater that Edward Gorey did it?
Yeah. Did Edward Gorey do Masterpiece Theater title sequence? I didn't know that.
I think it was Masterpiece Theater. I was very young and never ended up watching whatever Masterpiece was on, but
yes, you're right.
The fainting lady
on
the grave.
It looks like Edward. It is Edward Gorey. Yeah. Yeah, so anyone who's not familiar,
it was great.
Edward Gorey is a fabulous illustrator. He does a lot of these like kind of sketchy black and white, very detailed line drawings of people. It's kind of in his name that he's a little bit gruesome, a little bit haunted. And I think that is really cool. I have to recheck that out. I actually feel like I haven't seen that in a very long time, but now I'm looking at these images and it's really cool. Was there typography mixed into this?
Oh, sorry?
Was there, like, fonts and typography mixed into this, or were they kind of separate?
If I recall correctly, I'm just was just listening to the show, and I was like, oh, my God, that one.
That's such a good
one. Because
what
got me thinking of it first was WGBH, speaking of the, like, production company ones.
Yeah.
Their one that was, like, at the end of nationally syndicated public television shows was great. And it kind of had, a neon lettering thing, maybe kind of maybe that's where 824 ripped it off. But like the GBH one that would be at the end of those shows was also really great.
I'll have to check that out. I'm actually a big WGBH fan, having lived in New England for a little bit. So I'll have to look into that. That's very cool. Nice.
And then the thing.
The Thing is great. Oh yeah, The Thing is fabulous. It's haunted, apparently, that was all done practically. I think it was. If you look up how The Thing, I believe it was like cut out, and then they added, like waves or smoke. Wasn't there smoke coming through it? Yeah,
waves or smoke, and then he burnt the paper.
He did,
and it dissolved, and that's just the light.
Who designed it again? The Thing.
I don't. And I was afraid you were going to.
I know. I'm asking you because I don't remember. But yeah, if there's definitely a video floating around right now that I'm sure we both saw the same thing.
Totally.
And about how
Instagram
they made
served it to me.
Yeah,
I was
it's
like,
very cool.
I was eating it up.
And it's how he made The Thing and how he created the typography around The Thing and how that was animated, which is what we were talking about a little bit earlier about practically making these effects and filming them in a really interesting way.
Yeah, and I'm glad somebody mentioned Gracie Films because it's so silly, but it's burned in my brain.
I'm definitely checking that out. Cool. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Have a good one. Bye.
I think we can take maybe one more call.
We don't have any right now.
Oh, okay. Then forget it.
But we have about 2 minutes left.
That's okay. I was thinking of another movie title sequence that I really like that's kind of different was Napoleon Dynamite.
I remember the movie. I don't remember the title
sequence. So the title sequence is, because I remember it because it's so strange, it's all a bunch of food that is kind of flat laid in the screen. And then there's like the title is written in the food. So I think of like a gross, you know, corn dog. And then it's like Napoleon Dynamite on the mustard.
Okay.
And it's kind of fun. It's kind of different. It's kind of playful. And it kind of fits with the vibe of the movie, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that one, definitely. Micah, you're in the room. Do you have a favorite film title sequence?
Have you seen Ex-Drummer?
Ex-Drummer. No, I'm going to Google it, though.
It's a terrible movie, but a great title.
Great title sequence? What do you like about it?
It's very playful and weird. And
yeah. What year is this movie from? Now I'm
not that old.
No? Okay. Is this one with there's like rips and stuff? Is that what's happening? I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at a commercial for it. This looks like just some guy explaining the movie.
No.
Forget it. Forget it.
Ex-Drummer.
Ex-Drummer. I think I'm spelling it right. Ex-Drummer. All right, I'll have to check this out. I have not heard of this, but if anyone's heard of this, then they can call in. But actually,
we're out of time. We got enough time for the legal ID.
I have a whole list of movies that I need to look at the opening credits for, and we can talk about next week. So thank you so much for calling and for joining. And you've been listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Online at wfmu.org. Thank you.
To call my own and sing, I'm blue. Some hear the sweet springs rippling, the flute, the church bells ringing. Is true, is it true? I saw a shell that spoke to me, the crashing waves, the roaring sea, so blue, oh so blue. It echoes sounds of laughter's ring, as old as time, as young as spring, so new, oh so now. This music fails to sing what the breaking of my heart brings, the blues, oh it's true. Why do I need the sound of soft sweet whispering life.